Have you ever wondered, what's the point? We do all the time. Welcome back to What's the Point? It's better than Welcome Back. Come on.
It's true. What's the point?
What's the point of an intro? Friends, welcome back to What's the Point podcast. I'm Tom Westcott.
I'm Katie O'Connell.
I'm Heather Day.
And this is a podcast from Trinity Lutheran Church in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It's great to be with everybody. We just realized we've been doing this podcast for a year plus.
A whole year.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that wild?
We were thinking about what do we talk about to start off the pod today, and it's like, oh, we could talk about Ash Wednesday, and then it hit us.
We did that last year.
So if you guys want to know anything about Ash Wednesday, you can go listen to our podcast from last year, all about Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun.
These poor listeners have been listening to us talk about nonsense for a whole year.
A whole year.
Wow.
You've been wondering, what's the point of this podcast for over a year? Well, I have a hot take.
All right.
Can't wait.
I do not enjoy Super Bowl halftime shows. Hot take. And here's why. Because I'm a grumpy old man sitting on my couch saying,
let's get back
to the football game. I think it was a half hour plus, and I'm just thinking, these guys are just sitting in the locker room for an extended period of time that they are not accustomed to. Like, this is throwing them off the routine. This is a little silly.
That's fair.
I hear you saying that the Super Bowl is all about the football, and I guess that's where my issue comes in, because I think about how much money people pay to go to the Super Bowl, and you know what? They deserve a concert during halftime. They deserve it.
I tell you what, it is too much money, but yes.
Yes.
I would just like to say then that you clearly have not experienced the halftime show from the year 2000.
Oh, gosh.
I can't say that I remember that.
With Phil Collins. Singing the two worlds, great. One family, trust your heart. Faith decide. Is that the words?
Fate.
I don't know. Fate.
I'm sorry, fate. Disney. Fate. Disney, yeah. Please do not come after us for quoting musical lyrics from Tarzan.
I'm just saying, Phil Collins. I bet that was a heck of a halftime show.
Were you born then? When were you born? You were a child.
I am insulted. I was a child.
All I know is you're a lot younger than me.
I was 4 years old, probably, when the halftime show, Super Bowl, that's the one, happened. Uh-huh. Almost five.
Okay.
All right. So what's your biggest Super Bowl takeaway from this year?
I didn't watch it, so.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's Taylor and Travis.
Oh, my God.
My son came home from watching the game, and he was all upset about Travis Kelce and this and that, whatever. And I'm just like, whatever, they're in love. I love it. He's like, watching her watch him when he was like obnoxious after the game and like the, you got to fight for your right, whatever. And I'm like, I can just like feel her like, oh my gosh, this guy is so ridiculous, but I love him. It just makes me happy.
I really wanted to see Taylor's reaction to when Travis Kelce.
Did they win?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Taylor and Travis won. Yeah.
I did not watch it. 13, I know nothing.
It's everywhere.
Taylor, did you say Taylor and Travis won?
Yes, that's what
okay.
I said.
Okay.
That's what I said.
I wanted to see her facial expression when Travis got in Andy Reid's face.
Oh, yeah.
Rather aggressively. Yep. And I'm like, Andy is a stout man.
Yes.
And to move Andy Reid, I thought, Travis, what are you doing? You're like yelling at your head coach.
He was.
And oh my gosh.
Guys, we could talk about this.
This could just be a post Super Bowl podcast, but it's not.
It's not. It really isn't.
Not.
I hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl. We all did, or not. But we're here to talk about
sorry.
Created to Be, our Lenten series here at Trinity, but also the youth gathering theme. And we started a couple weeks ago with some insights that Heather got from the extravaganza.
The E. Mm-hmm.
And then we dove into our first what do I want to say?
Weekly theme.
Yeah,
our weekly, first theme. Weekly theme.
Yeah. Yeah. And now we're on to the next, which is...
Wait, our first one was created to be brave.
Yes, it was brave.
We talked about that last week.
Thank you for finding that.
Yeah. You're welcome.
And now we're on to authentic. Mm-hmm. We are created to be authentic.
Hmm.
What are some thoughts about that?
I feel like this could be the one that, like, thinking about bringing high schoolers there, like, this could be one that really hits the high schoolers.
Yeah.
Because I think that that is, you know, before we started, we were talking about, you know, just some of the kids that I'm taking this summer and how they're just kind of figuring out, like, who am I? Who am I in this world, in this group, like, as a part of my family? Like, mm-hmm. who am I? Where do I fit in? Like, that just seems like that's what, you know, these kids are just consumed with, I think, right now.
Yeah.
And so I could see this theme being one that really hits them.
Yeah. And I think the gathering is a great way to test those limits and boundaries and how comfortable am I dancing with, you know, thousands of other people.
Right.
Or not. Like, that's fine too. But just trying those things out that you perhaps normally wouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to say too that this theme is easier said than done. Being like created to be authentic is so much easier said than done just because you're still... I don't know, when you're high school, some of them, are they all in high school? Or some in eighth
or
grade?
There's eighth graders, okay. So they'll be in high school.
Yeah, which, that's hard. Finding who you are is so hard.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, and the way that you figure that out is by trying on different kind of hacks. Identities, different, yeah, for sure. I mean, I have watched the teenagers in my life, you know, my kids' friends and things, just try on different, like, okay, am I like a goth person? Am I a sporty person? Am I a part of this friend group or am I a part of this friend group? Mm-hmm. Am I like, you just watch them like try on all these different personas to try to figure out like, okay, what feels comfortable? Like, where am I in here? And yeah, it's so interesting to watch.
Yeah.
And I think it doesn't just stop with the kids. I think we're all continuously developing our authentic self. And I say I just don't think there's an end destination. We're constantly discerning and figuring that out as we,
for sure,
as we grow up.
Yeah.
So the youth gathering has a cool little thing about authenticity and who we are with an image of food. But I wanted to parlay this into an experience I had, talking about who we are as people and a community. In my previous call, I served a congregation that was about 20 minutes, probably less, 15 minutes from a reservation. And we had an ELCA congregation on the reservation that was served by a native pastor, Larry Teeley. Larry, if you're listening out there, love you. Larry's Lakota. And he had this beautiful image that whenever we came together, we often had... I interpreted it as soup, and I'm like, ugh, we're going to have soup again, Larry. Why are we doing this? I want something else than soup and bread. And he told us why they have soup a lot when churches come together or people from different places come together. And he says, we do that because you could have, like, he said, like, you could have, like, your potato soup or your... cheddar broccoli yummy soup like that. So like things like blend together. He said, we like to have stews where people bring different objects in or different food items in and the flavors enhance one another. They don't detract from one another, but they all play an integral part into this meal. And so we had this conference gathering and Larry had, I mean, this might sound weird. He had bear meat, which was in North Dakota, like, there aren't a lot of bears, but he had some bear meat. So he was like, this is what I'm bringing. And this is important because we don't have that around here, but I have like 2 pounds of bear meat. We will have bear meat stew. Everyone brings stuff. And so potatoes and vegetables and a broth was brought. And then we all put them in a pot and it simmered for hours while we were doing things together. But the stew cooking forced us to slow down and be present with one another and take our time to be in community with one another. And so I think it's just a way for us, that image for me of Stu is a way for us to bring our full authentic selves to a larger whole than just blending in with the crowd.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So there's a scripture that reminds me of, right? Which we hear the, you know, the parts of the body. Where what mm-hmm. book is that from? Who's got that? Whatever.
Is that Corinthians?
Probably. Anyway, I always think of that. I like those verses. But when I was in college, I worked as a camp counselor, not at a Bible camp, but it was a sports camp, but it was hosted at a college that was a Catholic college. And so there was, you know, a small faith component to it. And every week there was always, you know, a time before the evening activity where we would read that scripture together, and it would be different people, you know, saying, you know, if I am an eye, don't say there's no need of me, and, you know, whatever. And so it was talking about kind of in the context of sports and teams and how important each person is. And so I always think about that, you know, and when I hear that scripture, but just thinking about how, you know, each person brings their own talents and qualities, whether it's in a team or in, you know, a meeting of pastors or in any group that we're in, you know, in any community that we're in, how important it is to have, you know, people bringing, yeah, their authentic selves and their full selves, mm-hmm. Because those different parts, you know, make sense together, and it's, yeah, enriches the community to have all those parts together. Or, you know, you can't play the Super Bowl with a team full of tight ends. You have to have a quarterback. You have to have a kicker. You know,
too soon.
Okay. Sorry. Okay.
Moody. I was cheering for the 49ers. And Moody missed a field goal.
Oh, okay. Oh. Sorry. Okay. But you need all those people to make a football team, yeah. Right? Just mm-hmm. like, you know, in any other circumstance. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think discovering that, like, what's your role, though, like we've talked about, is kind of the tricky part. Mm-hmm. Like, what is my role? And it's hard when, I don't know, maybe this sounds strange, but like you think you know, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wait. Nope. And so to have those sort of like that epiphany, if you will, of this seismic change in your life, it's really hard mm-hmm. to realize like that is not who I am or the path I'm supposed to go. And I'm just thinking like my call story, like thinking like, oh, I'm going to go into the academic study of religion, and then having that like, oh, wait, no. No, everything mm-hmm. you thought you were going to do, probably mm-hmm. not. Mm-hmm. And so that's just that was a big shift for me to think of me being called to pastoral ministry. And yeah, everything changed.
That makes me think mm-hmm. about all of us on staff here and just like okay, so I hung out with Tom and the confirmation students last Wednesday. That was super fun. But Tom was introducing me and he goes, all right, so this is Katie. Katie, what do you do here? And don't just say, oh, what do I do here? Because that tends to be my answer a lot of times when people ask me what I do here. But it's just because, like, I've been here just over a year and a half, and I feel like my role has changed just so much, and it's constantly changing. And so it just is kind of a, okay, what, you know, what is my role here? What is my purpose here? Like, who am I meant to be as a member of the Trinity staff? Mm. Like, how am I supposed to be used? And so, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one who feels that way, but I feel like there's probably other people on staff who at least have, maybe at one point, felt that way.
Well, yeah, like, chances are the job descriptions that all of us have are not exactly what we actually do.
Exactly. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's not just here on staff at Trinity.
Like, oh, yeah. Guessing, oh, yeah.
Yeah. In other people's workplaces and, like, And beyond that, right? Like, what's your role in your family? What's your role in your family of origin? Like, for those of us, like, adults, like, what is your role now? I know it's not going to be a counseling session. but yeah, like, figuring out your role in all the different kind of groups that you're in your life, you know, whether it's work or home or, you know, whatever else. Mm-hmm. And how do you bring your authentic self to those roles?
Yeah.
And so that you can add your own personal, whatever it is that you bring.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thinking, like, how do you, and then, oh, sorry, we're getting a little more authentic than I want to be. But I'm just thinking, like, okay, so how my identity functions in, as my authentic self in different settings, but how do I then protect different parts of who I am in different settings? Like, I'm being authentic, but I don't want to go too far in certain settings. Mm-hmm. One, boundaries. Mm-hmm. Two, I want to protect perhaps my family or myself from others. And not out of fear, but like, I'm not risking vulnerability in this moment. I can still be authentic, but I'm not gonna bring 100% of me. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's not being truly authentic. Listeners, please push back in an email to Katie O'Connell.
Please.
No, but I love that. Like, that kind of like push and pull between being authentic in different situations and having healthy boundaries, and like balancing that vulnerability in different settings. That's really tricky. And I'm sure, especially like as a pastor, that gets really tricky.
That's what I was thinking too, especially because I feel like there's such a, like, with you being in the pulpit, you know, as every week, every other week, however often you are, you know, I feel like people start to get to know you and they feel like that they really know you on a personal level and that they should know you on a personal level. But at the same time, how do you set those boundaries and just say, he's like a sliver of my life?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And even this podcast is, I think it's designed to be inviting to people.
Yeah.
Like, you listeners out there, to have it fly on the wall in this conversation. But also, like, you're getting to know us, but we're not getting to know you through this process. We get some feedback and some folks that approach us, but the podcast concept is so strange.
It is.
But it's the same sort of thing. We're sharing stories, but we might not share them with you if you were sitting here at the table with us, which is weird. We're sharing it with each other and then producing it.
Such an interesting point. That is a very interesting point. I feel like this is a place where I tend to feel more authentic, like more myself, and I share a lot more versus if somebody calls and I'm, you know, having a phone call with them or whatever, or even if someone stops in the office and, you know, we're chit-chatting, whatever. I mean, if you're seeing me, you're probably going to see a happy, smiley face and not necessarily hear all of these hot takes that I have. Shut up, Tom.
I didn't say anything.
You laughed. That was enough. But it's very interesting.
Well, just hearing, like, here's professional Katie versus, like, you know, podcast Katie is maybe a slightly, I don't want to say less professional, but like a little more, maybe more authentic.
Yeah.
But it makes me think about, like, just growing up and like as an adult in the age of social media and like, what does authenticity mean on social media? Right. Like, there's so much, you know, go on social media and it's like, it's all fake, right?
Yeah.
Like, or not fake, but not necessarily authentic, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you see people's best selves or whatever it is they decide to put forward. Mm-hmm. And so how does, you know, thinking back to teenagers, like, how do you figure out how to be authentic in this world where you're only seeing one side of people?
Right.
It's so tricky.
It is. That's a really good point too.
I can't wait to hear more about this at the gathering and to see how the leadership there and the speakers will approach this topic with with the teenagers and
well, and I'll there. Be I'll be interested to hear about like the experiences that our youth going have and like kind of the self-discovery that they mm-hmm. might find on this trip. Because I know when I went to the gathering, it was like that was very eye-opening for me and definitely guided a large part of my life, because up until then I was like, Jesus Schmeezus, who cares? And now look at me, here I am.
Jesus Schmeezus. Feels like a good place to end for this episode.
That's what, yeah, we'll title that in the yeah. comments. Jesus Schmeezus.
I love it.
Well, thanks everyone for bearing with us and wondering what's the point of this yeah. all. We have been talking about what it means to be created to be authentic. And next time you join us, we'll chat about what it means to be created to be free. For Heather and Katie, I'm Tom, and that's a wrap for this week. Peace out.
Bye.